This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drop. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 at our national cash contest. And we'll catch up with Rich Gannon of CBS Sports. He is on Titans and Ravens this Sunday. We've got a quote from Bill Self. KU is having their basketball media days today. I have not seen a report that he has questioned the toughness of his team. That's going to come at some point. You got to wait just a little bit longer for Bill Self to question the toughness and say this is the softest team he's had in Kansas in a very long time. But we got another quote today.
Yep. It's from Matt Galloway from CJ Online, which is the Topeka Capital Journal. And he was asked about all this stuff that's going on. And, of course, I did that. I clicked right off. I'm not going to make comment day-to-day on what has been said because we'll know in the next couple of weeks what this actually is all about. He says, I don't have any response. I can't talk about that, and I'm not meaning to be opaque about this at all. I just feel like our stance is the same. We'll comment when the time is appropriate, and the appropriate time is when this is all done. And this stems from who's the guy? Is it Gasnola, I think, is the guy?
Mm-hmm. He's a former Adidas employee.
Adidas guy. He's on the stand today. Is that mm-hmm. right? Talking and he had talked about that he had met with Self and said, hey, we're here to help you when it comes to targeting certain recruits.
We have a Twitter account, or Twitter poll, excuse me, up right now. Office debate. Speck, it is at a pure 50-50 tie right now with over 4,000 votes. Who would you rather have on your team? Peak Jamal Charles or Tyreek Hill? The poll's going to end in an hour. We'll get to that at the bottom of the – at the top of the hour, 4:45. We'll get to that. It is at a 50-50 right now. Would you rather have peak Jamal Charles or Tyreek Hill on your team? We'll talk to Rich Gannon coming up in about 30 minutes or so and give you a chance to win $1,000 in the national cash contest. Sometimes I like this job because I don't got to do a whole lot of work.
Yeah.
This segment's one of those I don't got to do a whole lot of work. Spectre, good luck to you on the text line. Because it's not going to be very kind to you.
Never is.
Tell them what you said earlier today regarding this game.
I don't think this is a big game in the whole scheme of the NFL season.
Okay.
So Chiefs-Patriots is not a big game.
I think the NFL does this better than any other league that we have. They make the game seem much bigger than it actually is because they play once a week. I think CBS and the SEC does the same thing with LSU Auburn or Auburn Georgia, whoever it is. That Saturday 2:30 game at CBS makes that game seem a lot bigger and better than it actually is. I think ESPN used to do the same thing with college basketball. They made certain games on a Tuesday or Wednesday night seem a lot
Monday.
Bigger than they were.
Yeah.
Kansas, Texas, Monday night, 8 o'clock. Yeah, it was a fun game to watch, but in the grand scheme of the KU season, wasn't that big a game. I don't think Sunday night is all that big a game in terms of the Chiefs and where this team needs to go in January. Because I think they're 5-0. I think we've all basically conceded, in this room at least, that the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. They're going to be a playoff team. I think we're all fairly confident that they're going to be a one or two seed in the AFC. But the way the NFL works and the way kind of the media drives the story with Patrick Mahomes makes this seem like a bigger game than it actually is. So while we all want to win, and while I can't wait for Sunday night, if the Chiefs lose, nothing really happens. They're still going to be a top team in the AFC. They're still going to have a one-game overall lead on the Patriots. They're still going to be atop the AFC West. So if you want to say that a win over the Patriots is a big, big moment, you also have to say a loss over the Patriots is a big, big moment. I don't believe that to be the case. I think this is just a one of 16. now a game that we all want to win because you always like knocking off the, you know, the big bully on the block. But this is not a bigger game than Jacksonville. This isn't even a bigger game than the Chargers in week one, because at least that's a division game. This is not a bigger game on the schedule. This is one of 16, even if it is on Sunday night against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Speck, here's the deal, though, man. If the Chiefs win this game and go to 6-0 and the Patriots drop to 3-3, they've got a three-game lead on the Patriots with 10 games to go in the season.
And the tiebreaker.
Yeah, and the tiebreaker. Important. And if they win this game and they happen to beat Cincinnati next week, then you've knocked off 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe potentially four of the playoff teams in the AFC, man.
You're absolutely right. But I think we can all agree that at least when it comes in terms of the Patriots, and we'll hold our reservations for the Bengals for the moment, Tom Brady could go to the moon and win. Tom Brady can go anywhere and win a game.
But this is where I disagree with you. I actually agree with you when it comes to the Patriots side. If I'm a Patriots fan, I feel like with Tom Brady, we can win anywhere. Would you feel that way as a Chiefs fan? Like, the biggest reason I disagree with you is I don't really get into the mental edge. Like, this doesn't give the Chiefs some mental edge of believing they're going to win. The Chiefs are going to go into the playoff game thinking they can beat the Patriots, especially with Andy Reid, and a lot of that team has beaten the Patriots in years past. It certainly matters for the AFC standings.
Correct.
If the Chiefs get the one seed, I will probably pick them to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl. Now, we got to see injuries. Maybe something happens. But if they get the one seed, to me, they are the favorite just by definition, and I will pick them to do it. If they got to go to New England, I'm not picking. I'm sorry. I'm not picking any team to go into New England in the playoffs and beat Tom Brady and beat Bill Belichick. That's not what I can do. If you beat New England in this game, to go along with what Brad said, you go to 6-0. New England goes to 3-3. You have a four-game lead on them when you factor in the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And New England will have lost to you and Jacksonville, two of the other better teams. They are in danger of not getting a bye week. That is a significant advantage. I'm with you that we put the window dressing and we dress this game up in a Sunday Night Football and it's 1-1 and it's 1-116. You can't, to me, leave out the fact of you can have a stranglehold in terms of standings and seeding ahead of New England, which matters a lot to me come January.
Okay, fair enough. Let's say they go into New England and win, right? We would all say that Chiefs-Patriots is a big game and bigger than Cincinnati in Kansas City the following Sunday night.
Yeah, of course.
Let's say the Bengals come in 5-1 and the Chiefs are 6-0 and the Bengals win. Actually, next week, the Bengals are 5-1, the Chiefs are 6-0. That's already a bigger game than the Patriots game.
But maybe this is where you
because
and I
Because then
are,
if the Bengals win, they have the tiebreaker and they're going over the Chiefs.
What is this, one game?
This is a Sunday after Sunday after Sunday.
No.
It's one of 16.
Speck, here's the thing, though. What has Cincinnati ever done in the postseason? What has Andy Dalton ever done in the postseason?
What has the Chiefs done in the postseason?
Well, I know, but all I'm saying is, to me, the Patriots are much more dangerous. Let's knock these clowns out, man.
You can't
Let's
knock step them out on their throat. You can't knock them out on
But
Sunday
you can put
night.
Them down, like Carrington said, you can get them up. You basically have a four-game lead on them. And then, I will give you this. Like, the Chiefs, off to their 5-0 start, you have built a nice little pad there that you can't afford to lose one of the next two games, and you're still sitting in great shape. I don't want to mess with the Patriots, man. Let's knock these dudes out, man. You have a golden opportunity right now to take a three-game lead and have the tiebreaker over them. That is huge.
But
I
don't care where Tom Brady plays any team. He has a chance to win every game no matter what. He could play it Blue Valley North against the Chiefs in January,
but he has just
as good a chance to win as the Chiefs
do.
This
is the thing, though. No one listening disagrees with you. No one's saying that if the Chiefs play the home game against New England, then – no one's saying that New England doesn't have a chance to win this game. Maybe this analogy will make sense. Maybe it won't make sense. To me, you're arguing that it would be like you. To me, you're arguing it doesn't matter if you play at Allen Fieldhouse. It absolutely matters. You're telling me in a very important game, if you're Texas or you're Iowa State, you wouldn't rather have that game at home than on the road. Like, to me, the Patriots are the Patriots. You're right. Kansas can beat you at their gym. They can beat you at Georgia gym. But where would I rather have them?
Obviously,
rather have them in my gym. So that's why I agree with you in like the core of what you're saying. But I think you're leaving out very important context to the conversation. It has to factor in. If the Chiefs win this game, it gives you a four-game advantage against the old guard and the best team in the AFC. Until a team knocks off the Patriots, I will always assume they're the best team in the AFC until a team beats them in the postseason. So you're right. They can beat you at Arrowhead. They can beat you at Swope Park. They can beat you at Central Park. It doesn't matter where you play them. I'd much rather play that game at Arrowhead when I got 80,000 people on my side than in Foxborough. Because I'm sorry. I don't care how good Mahomes is. They are not winning January 17th at Foxborough. I ain't picking them.
Fair enough. But they also, even if they were to lose on Sunday night, they still have a one-game cushion.
Yeah, but they've also lost to the Jags, too. So then potentially if the Jags do their thing, you've got the Chiefs and the Jags as the one and the two seed right out of the gate. And because they've got the tiebreaker over the Patriots if the Jags take care of business.
I definitely ain't afraid of Jacksonville and Blake Bortles.
No, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. But maybe the Patriots should be. You know? And what if the Patriots, for whatever reason, have to face them before they face the Chiefs? Make it as tough as you possibly can on the Patriots to get to the Chiefs.
Yeah, of course.
Insulate yourself, man.
But just like we saw in 2015, the NFL does an amazing job of believing that every game is do or die. And that's what's so great about when you turn on Red Zone on Sunday, Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN, they make every game seem like it's do or die. It's not.
Well, it's not.
It's one of 16. So they can win on Sunday night. They could lose on Sunday night. They still have 10 more games. Those will decide where they end up at the playoffs, not Sunday night.
You're right. But to me, though, I think you are equating all the games as they are even. Like, playing New England and what that means for you is different than playing Arizona.
And the Chargers game is bigger. The Chargers week one was bigger than the Patriots then. You can't argue that because that's division. You win your division, you automatically get a playoff berth.
Yeah, but we're past that now, right? I think we all agree that they're probably going to win the division.
Which is why I'm saying it's one of 16.
Yeah, but this now we're talking about seeding.
But we're making Sunday night seem like the be-all, end-all.
It's not the be-all, end-all, yeah, man. That's not what I'm saying at all.
I think that's what the NFL wants you to believe because that's what drives television.
Well, I mean, it's a sexy matchup for sure. I mean, I'd rather see this than the Cards and the Browns.
And I'm pumped for Sunday night. I'm going to have Red Zone on Sunday. Leading all the way up to Sunday night, you're going to see the old guard versus the new guard. It has everything on paper that you want. But it's one of 16, and I'm never going to believe otherwise.
Yeah, and I guess for me, and we can end this conversation and take a break. I know we're up against it, and you got a chance to win $1,000 in National Cash Contest coming up in 20 minutes. The only team in the AFC I would be afraid to travel to is New England. I wouldn't be afraid if this team has to play at Pittsburgh. I wouldn't be afraid if this team has to play at Jacksonville or at Baltimore or at Cincinnati. The only team as a fan base you should be afraid to is Tom Brady and Foxborough. They don't lose these kind of games at home. They're dominance in the AFC. They're dominance in the playoffs. You got a chance. You got a chance at home. I'm not giving you a chance on the road. Like, I'm just not picking Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid to go into Foxborough with a Super Bowl appearance on the line and win in New England. I just couldn't pick that. Maybe some of you could. I just couldn't do it. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our National Cash Contest. But first, this team's offseason is already starting to be very, very clear. I'll tell you what I mean coming up. It's The Drive. It is very split on the text line. Spec, some people think you're crazy. Some people think that you're right. A lot of times the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think you make some good points. I don't think that you're wrong in your assessment of the game. I think you are improperly weighting all the games the same and think that beating Cincinnati holds the same weight that beating New England does.
If Cincinnati's 5-1 coming into Arrowhead and the Chiefs are 6-0, it's a bigger game than New England.
Yeah, but I guess to me, though, I don't think it's as big of a deal to travel to Cincinnati in the playoffs as it is to travel to New England. Like, if you have to travel to to Cincinnati, you still might be the favorite in Vegas in that game if you have to travel to Cincinnati at some point. You are not going to be the Vegas favorite if you travel to New England at any point this season. So I think that's maybe the big difference between the way you and I and Fanning are looking at it. Coming up in just a bit, we'll catch up with Rich Gannon of CBS Sports, former MVP. He is on the call for Titans and Ravens this week, two teams that the Chiefs might have to face in the playoffs at some point later on down the line. But even though it's the middle of the season, I think we already know what the Chiefs' offseason checklist look like. I think it's like pretty clear what they're going to have to do this offseason. We agree they're going to have to make a very important decision on Justin Houston. This is the first time that they could get out of their contract. They cannot get out of the Eric Berry contract. Now, maybe they reach some kind of injury settlement with Eric Berry, but we're a long way away from having that kind of conversation. Eric Berry, in theory, is going to be on the team next year. His contract, you cannot cut Eric Berry, and it does not benefit you to cut him. It does benefit you to cut Justin Houston at the end of this season. They're going to have to make a very important decision about Justin Houston and his health. I find it hard to believe he comes back at his current salary next year. I don't know how you can really justify him coming back. So maybe they restructure or an outright cut. But number one before they move forward is freeing up cap space by deciding what they're going to do with Justin Houston. In unison with that, it's Dee Ford. Dee Ford has played himself into a conversation that, to me, you are not letting 27-year-old, 28-year-old pass rusher just walk away in free agency. Either you reach a long-term deal with Dee Ford, which I wouldn't advise, or you franchise tag him and you see what happens for another year. And he might be mad, like most NFL players are when they get franchise tag, but he will be on the team next season. I think it's clear those are the number one and number two things they have to do this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Houston is going to be – his cap hit next year is going to be $21.1 million. And he can't stay healthy, and at least – and he's going to be 30 years old. So I think he either restructures or they let him go. I think that's a done deal. But and Dee Ford's got the Chiefs by the cojones, man. I mean, if they cut Houston, then they need a pass rusher. Listen, maybe Tano Passanio all of a sudden morphs into some great pass rusher over the next 10 games. And we go, wow, man, this guy's great. And then you decide, you know what? I think we're going to roll the dice with Passanio and Breland Speaks going forward. We're going to let Dee Ford walk. Maybe that's the case. Dee Ford's got the most leverage of anybody here. And if it's me, I'm franchise tagging the guy because I still don't believe after you pay him, he's going to be some amazing football player and change into a – I think he's the guy that you saw the first 4 years. I think it's what he is. I think this year's an outlier because he knows he needs to get paid. It's a critical part of his career. I don't see Dee Ford all of a sudden getting paid 3 years and $25 million guaranteed and all of a sudden being the same guy that we've seen the first five games this year.
So that's clear on the Chiefs checklist to me. But we already know that going into the offseason, even though it's week six of the NFL season. People seem to think they're going to have a choice when it comes to Tyreek Hill and paying him. They're not going to have a choice this offseason. Tyreek Hill is going to get a long-term extension. It's not going to be optional. It's not like the Chiefs can wait for another year. Next year, Tyreek Hill, all in when you include bonuses, is going to make $790,000. I don't know how you can watch and follow the NFL and think that Tyreek Hill and his agent, who I think factors into this, who is Drew Rosenhaus, is going to let his client play for under $800,000 next year whenever Sammy Watkins, who plays right alongside of him, makes $16 million. That ain't happening next season. So Tyreek Hill, it is not going to be, it'd be nice to pay him. No, it is going to be if you don't pay Tyreek Hill, he is not showing up for you next season, and it is going to be a problem. And I think it is going to send a bad message to the rest of that team and your quarterback, who you need to be in the business of keeping happy for the next 15 years. So Tyreek Hill, it is not optional this offseason what's going to happen.
No.
The question is, are you paying him like he's Mike Evans or are you paying him like he's Odell Beckham? But there's no conversation of are you paying him. He is absolutely going to get paid this offseason.
Yeah, you have to. You got to pay him. And I've said this from the beginning. Pay him early, not late. You waited on Eric Berry. You waited on Justin Houston to pay those guys. And how are those deals working out? I want Tyreek Hill's youngest, healthiest, and fastest years. So he's 24 years old right now. You're going to pay him at 25, lock him down 3 years, give him a hell of a deal, pay him big-time money, give him a bunch of guaranteed up stuff up front. And then by the time he's 28, you got a chance to pay him again, or he can walk. Pay him now. Pay early on the guys that you completely 100% believe in. And Tyreek Hill's one of those dudes.
And I guess what I'm saying is I don't really think they have a choice. Like,
yeah, they don't.
I mean,
he'll just hold out.
I'm saying, like, the Chiefs, I think, in theory, would love for Tyreek Hill to say, hey, you know what, I'm fine. I'm happy with playing for 700. That's not happening. Like, no. Have you been watching the NFL?
He's basically got a Sal Perez deal, right? I mean, that's really what it is. Remember, Salvi signed that really crummy deal, and the Royals came back and they paid him when they didn't have to, but the Chiefs have to pay Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, they don't have a choice. So no. Tyreek Hill is getting paid this offseason. So what are they going to do with Justin Houston, Dee Ford, Tyreek Hill? We already know what the Chiefs' offseason checklist is. They will have to make a decision on what they want to do with Chris Jones. They will have a decision on what they want to do with Kendall Fuller. So basically how it works is, if you were taken in the first round, teams can hold your rights for 5 years. That's what's happening with Dee Ford right now. When you get to year four, you can exercise an option for a fifth year that is fully guaranteed. So Dee Ford's contract's fully guaranteed. If you're not taken in the first round, a guy like Tyreek Hill, it is only a four-year contract, same with Chris Jones and the same with Kendall Fuller. So they will have a decision this offseason on what they want to do with Chris Jones and Kendall Fuller. You don't trade Alex Smith and make it a point to acquire somebody like Kendall Fuller if you're not serious about paying him long-term. And he hasn't done anything to justify you not giving him the money. Chris Jones, you drafted him, you developed him, popular. You're going to – that conversation's going to come up. And to me, the conversation about paying a guy early, that's not a Tyreek Hill conversation. That's a Chris Jones conversation. Yeah. Like, what if Chris Jones turns into Geno Atkins and then he becomes one of the top five players at his position? Man, then it becomes a very expensive thing this offseason. Tyreek Hill's contract, they're going to have to do that. To me, what do they decide to do with Chris Jones and Kendall Fuller, and do they pay both of those guys this offseason? That is on the offseason checklist.
And I think you pay those guys, and one way you do it is by cutting Justin Houston. I mean, that's where you save a ton of money. I mean, that's where it comes from. That's at least one place where it comes from, right? So if I have to pick, if I'm the guy picking here, I want Tyreek, I want Jones, I want Kendall Fuller, and I say goodbye to Justin Houston.
And last thing on their checklist, I would say top five things, they have three draft picks in the top 64, and a luxury you have because of this offense, you don't got to make a whole lot of decisions about the offense. Other than paying Tyreek Hill, everything's taken care of. Quarterback still on his rookie contract. Running back still on his rookie contract. Kelsey already got paid. Sammy Watkins already got paid. Tyreek Hill's going
to
get paid.
Mitch Morse is going to have to get paid if they're going to keep him.
Yeah, but Mitch Morse to me, I mean, I would say he's very far down the line of guys I would pay. Kendall Fuller's ahead of him. Chris Jones would be ahead of him. Tyreek Hill's ahead of him. Mitch Morse is kind of, I'm sorry, we don't have the money right now. You got to figure something out. And I mean, and he's a center holding out. I don't know if that's going to be a guy that's holding out.
I don't know if he's going to hold out or not, but all I'm saying is if you're going to protect your most valuable commodity, you better pay attention to it.
Yeah, you better pay attention to it. Yeah. And I would say paying Tyreek Hill is the paying attention part to it. I would say everybody else is taken care of on the offense. Left tackle taken care of, right tackle taken care of on the offense. You paid your right guard. You'll get him back probably next year with Larry Duvernay-Tardif.
I think you get him back this year,
You paid Cam Irving. Everybody on the offense is happy. So draft pick resources, free agent resources. And that's going to the defense. You got three picks in the top 64 next year. You got your first-round draft pick back. You got your second-round draft pick, and you have the Rams pick from what happens to Marcus Peters. Now, those two picks that you have in the second round could be low second-round picks based on how good you are and the Rams are. But, man, you can significantly upgrade your defense if you draft correctly and use the free agent cap space that you have. That's what you need to be focused on, significantly improving your defense while your offense can be completely untouched and still be top five in the NFL going into 2019.
And all that to me centers around letting Justin Houston go and saving that money. I mean, as much as that sucks, I mean, that's just fact. You've got to let go of him. You got to cut him. You got to free up the cap space and go.
So I look right now at the offseason checklist for your Kansas City Chiefs. To me, it seems very clear. Make a decision on Justin Houston. This is the first year you can get out of that contract. Either pay him or restructure the deal. D Ford's contract's going to be up. Either franchise tag him or come to a long-term agreement. Tyreek Hill has to get paid. It is not an optional thing with Tyreek Hill. He will make under $800,000 next year. He's not playing under that contract. Like, you don't hire Drew Rosenhaus to not get paid. Just like in baseball, when you hire Scott Boras, you're trying to get paid. You don't hire Drew Rosenhaus and you're not trying to get the most money you can. You just saw Sammy Watkins get $16 million per. My client's not showing up if he's not getting at least Sammy Watkins' money. You got to make a decision on Chris Jones and Kendall Fuller. Both of them will be due for new contracts. And you got three draft picks in the top 64. Even though it's the middle of the season, I think we already know what this team needs to do next season. Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And we'll catch up with Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP. He is on the call this week for Titans and Ravens. Rich Gannon next on The Drive. It is your chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Text the word CAKE, C-A-K-E, CAKE, to 72881. That's CAKE. You want Chiefs talk? Maybe a little cake? Ain't a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s. There's only one station in Kansas City giving you all three of those things, 7A to 7P. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. One more time for those of you in the back, hard of hearing.
What?
CAKE, C-A-K-E, CAKE. The National Cash Contest code word for 430 is CAKE. Earlier today, we caught up with Rich Gannon of CBS Sports, and we asked him how surprised was he that Jacksonville's defense couldn't stop anything that the Chiefs wanted to do.
No, they couldn't. And, you know, I think part of it is I think they're multiple in offense. In other words, they use a number of different personnel groupings, a number of different formations, a number of different motions and disguises. And I think the beauty of that system, it's all about illusion and disguise. They want to create this illusion that they have 500 different passes and 60 different runs. And really what they do is they have a handful of concepts that the players know, the players learn. And then Andy Reid and the staff creatively come up with different ways to disguise it every week. So it might be, we talked about it a little bit, like, the shovel pass. One week, it may be the shovel pass to Tyreek Hill. Next week it could be to Travis Kelce. It could be to somebody else. I mean, it's the way that they kind of dress things up, and so the players aren't having to learn all that. They just learn concepts, and then they learn each week the formations and the protections that go with it.
Rich, right now we're having a debate on the show, and it's really been the debate in Kansas City when it comes to yards versus points, when it comes to the Chiefs' defense. They're giving up a lot of yards this season, 460 a game through the air, 5.8 yards per carry the other team is running against the Chiefs. But for the most part, they've done a decent job keeping teams out of the end zone. How overall do you look at this defense, and do you think this defense is good enough for you to get to a Super Bowl with?
I'm concerned, and I'm not going to lie to you. You know, sometimes statistics and can be skewed. Sometimes you look at the, the dead last in total yards or, whatever. Sometimes you say, well, that's a problem. I think scoring defense is important. I think look at third down defense, look at red zone defense. And look at the fact last week they took the ball away four times from Bortles. But at the end of the day, they give up a lot of big plays. I think they could tackle better. I think some communication breakdowns, you see that on occasion. I think it eventually will catch up to them if they don't get it straightened out. I have a lot of confidence in Bob Sutton, but they've got to play better. I mean, look, Bortles had a poor day. You look at where the Jacksonville Jaguars were at their best running back, and yet, they still, it did some things that concern you. I just think that the Chiefs right now have a little bit of an imbalance. Right now they're scoring and they're just dominating people offensively, and yet defensively they've had some issues. I think if they can get the defense smoothed out a little bit, they're good in the kicking game, what they have offensively, then this would be in good shape. But defensively, I'm sure it's got Andy concerned.
We're talking to Rich Gannon now. He's on the call at CBS this weekend for Ravens and Titans, and that kind of walks me into what my next question is going to be for you, Rich. I mean, what stats do you trust? Because you can make numbers look any way you want. You really can. Like I always talk about the little hot potato handoff that's considered a touchdown pass in the NFL now. I mean, that skews Mahomes' numbers a little bit. And we've talked about the total yards and stuff like that with the defense. Give me some stats that, as a former NFL MVP, that you actually trust.
How about rushing differential? And that's, what you look at, what you're doing on the ground offensively, and what you look at your run defense, and how they're stopping people, running the football. Rushing differential is a big one. I look at third down. What are you doing on third down where the game speeds up? You've got a young quarterback. This is where the team spent a lot of time defensively with their third down packages, their blitz packages, their cover packages. What are we doing? What are we doing on third down? Are we getting off the field on third down? I mean, those are important numbers. The turnover differential, which has been really good so far, and you look at what Mahomes has done. I mean, just the two interceptions through the first 5 weeks of the season. I mean, if you were said to me, in the preseason, hey, is Mahomes, at this point in the season, going to account for 16 touchdowns and just turn the ball over twice? I'd say probably not. Especially when you look at some of the defenses that they played against, Pittsburgh and then Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville, I think, is one of the best defenses in football, and they put 30 up on them. So it wasn't as easy, especially early, but this is a team that's just got a lot of firepower, a lot of team speed, and will eventually wear you down.
Rich, you've actually had to go up against a Bill Belichick defense. What makes him such a great defensive mind? What makes his defenses so good typically over the years?
I think this to my opinion, this is the game of the week, because I was listening on the radio this morning, and a Chiefs caller had called in and said sarcastically, is there anyone that can beat us this year? Are we just going to run the table? And I'm like, you think? And I said, well, you better not overlook the team you're playing this week. The Dolphins rolled into New England a couple weeks ago. They were 3-0. We look at their personnel and their speed on offense. It's similar. The quarterback, in my opinion, is not the same player in Mahomes. But the Patriots, their system of football is very different. It's so game plan specific. In other words, you could study the Patriots defense over the last 3 or 4 weeks and go out on Sunday and they're doing something different. They might play a 3-4. They might play a 4-man front. They might play, a jam front with 5 defensive linemen in the game. It just all depends. My sense is they'll do a lot of what they did against the Miami Dolphins, and they're going to get the small people on the field. And what I mean by that is you're going to see a lot of nickel and dime and quarter packages, 5 and 6 and 7 defensive backs. You'll see Van Noy's and the quick space playing linebackers, extra safeties. So So they're going to get guys on the field that can play in space, that can tackle the football, knock you up the big plays, and, you know, and try and play that way. And I think when they do that, I think then you've got to be able to lean on the running game a little bit. And I think it's going to be a real chess match. It always is a chess match when you go up against a Bill Belichick coach football team and a Bill Belichick coach defense.
Rich, one question I've always wanted to ask a quarterback is, you've seen Brady's game develop and mature over the years from being the kid that came in whenever Drew Bledsoe got injured to now being considered the greatest quarterback of all time. How would you say his game has changed as he's gotten older and more mature in the Patriots system?
Well, you know, he's been in the same system for 19 seasons, right? And the other thing he's had the benefit of is it's been essentially the same play callers. In other words, when Charlie Weiss left, it promoted Josh McDaniels. When Josh McDaniels left, it promoted Bill O'Brien from the staff. When Bill was getting ready to leave, they brought Josh back. So it's all been the same terminology and verbiage for him. So he is kind of a master of his domain. The one thing he's had to do is adjust to the different players. I would tell you, he struggled early in the season. I think getting Josh Gordon has helped him. He's still a work in progress, but I think getting his security blanket back and Julian Edelman, you could really see the difference last week. That's going to help. The Sony Michels are really good back. And so I think it's all starting to come together for them, but he's the one that makes it all happen. I don't see any signs of him slowing down. You know, there's a lot of this talk about his fitness regimen and his lifestyle and the way he eats and trains. And I think there's something to be said for that. I did their game a couple weeks ago. I spent about a half an hour with him afterwards in the production meeting. He's in great shape, takes really good care of himself. I think the other thing about Brady that I think is I think he's the best at knowing and understanding what his strengths and weaknesses are, but also avoiding the negative play. In other words, if he gets fooled, which is rare, but if he gets fooled and they bring a safety, and he's just going to find a quick answer, throw and throw it away. Like, he avoids, like, the bad sack. He avoids the bad, you know, take the third hitch in the pocket, have a ball stripped from him and knocked out. You know, he avoids the red zone mistake, the turnover down that part. I mean, he knows how to get his team to the finish line. And here's an interesting statistic. So people are talking about, you know, the Chiefs, I mean, you know, when they have to play, you know, on the road with a team like the Patriots, I think the Patriots against the AFC in the last, I don't know, last 60 games at home are like 59-2 or something like that. I think the Chiefs beat them there a couple of years ago, but they're tough at home, trust me.
Rich, if you're coaching this game, give me a game plan to beat the Patriots.
Offensively, you've got to do something to disrupt the quarterback. Like, and I think internal pressure probably bothers him more. If you can get pushed up inside and force Brady to move to his right or to his left. Look, he's never a guy that's going to be able to beat you with his – he's never a guy that's going to be able to fix problems with his legs. He has to be able to fix the problems with his right arm or with his brain, and he's good at doing that. But you've got to force him off the spot. If he's sitting back there and he's got time, you're done. You're just wasting your time. You got to find a way to disrupt the timing and the rhythm of the passing game. On the other side of the ball, I think the Chiefs have to be smart in terms of, you know, being patient. They're going to put a lot of, I said, smaller and faster guys on the field that can match up and cover. And I think it's really going to challenge Patrick Mahomes to be disciplined with his eyes, to take the check downs, to work the ball underneath. They're not going to give you a lot of deep balls. They're not going to give you a lot of, you know, let you run by them in the secondary. It's a well-coached team, and they've got good players in the secondary. You know, you look at Stephon Gilmore can run, and you got the McCourty brothers, and Chung's a good player. You know, he can get up there and match up with Kelce a little bit. So I think you got to be willing to adjust and adapt during the game as well, because the game plan could change as you're going along. But it's going to be important, I think, for Patrick to be very disciplined with his eyes and very patient and be willing to take the completions underneath. And I think that's going to be the key. You know, just they're going to make you work the ball down the field. There's not going to be a lot of 50 and 60 and 70-yard plays, in my opinion, against this Patriots defense.
And that is Rich Gannon. He is a 4-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro, and he won NFL MVP. He is on the call for Titans and Ravens this week for CBS Sports. Rich, always enjoy talking football with you. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
That's the best. Thanks.
Always like having Rich Gannon on the show. We will react to what he had to say coming up on the other side. A Patriots player said something interesting about Tyreek Hill that is the opposite of how Jalen Ramsey handled it last week. And we have a poll up that is about to end. Who would you rather have? Peak Jamal Charles or Tyreek Hill? We tell you the results of that coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on the drive, there was a quote from Stephon Gilmore, who plays cornerback for the New England Patriots. He was asked if he had anything similar to say that Jalen Ramsey did last week towards Tyreek Hill. He said, quote, oh, we have it? All right, let's play it. I didn't know that we had it. Oh, he's giving me the finger. All right.
Like the finger, or giving me a thumbs
he's
up,
just,
or giving me the
giving
finger?
Me a,
you're number one?
Like a wait.
Oh, got it.
Like a, right. like a hold right. on, like a wait.
Just wanted to clarify.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We have the audio. Here's what Stephon Gilmore had to say about Jalen Ramsey, who had something to say about Tyreek Hill. I know it's all confusing.
I mean, it's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys should talk is mostly his own guy, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
This is, I mean, I wouldn't say I don't really get it. I don't really care one way or the other. He says he doesn't really have the energy to talk bad about Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. but then talks bad about Jalen Ramsey and not talking bad about yeah. Tyreek Hill. Like, you do have the energy to talk. Talk your yeah. mess. You're a good cornerback in the NFL. I got no issues with it. But to say you don't have time for it to then knock Jalen Ramsey, I mean, you do got the time.
But he's not really a zone guy either, though. He talks about him being a press guy, too. So he got his facts a little bit wrong about Jalen Ramsey, right? He says he's a zone guy. He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen, I mean, I think, I mean, everyone knew that Jalen, I mean, no one in the NFL is playing bump and run coverage for full the entire game. I think everyone knew that wasn't really the case with Jalen Ramsey, that sometimes you play cover two zone, which they do a lot, and then sometimes you press and play man coverage. Like, Stephon Gilmore acting like he's now Darrelle Revis and his prime is a little over the top, because I saw you in the Super Bowl last year against Philadelphia in that backup quarterback when you didn't have Malcolm Butler, and you were out there getting chefed by Nick Foles. Couldn't stop Nick Foles from throwing the ball or catching the football last year, but I don't want to bring that up. So today, we had a poll on our Twitter page that reads as follows. Who would you rather have on your team? Peak Jamaal Charles or Tyreek Hill? Now, there's still an hour left in this, and there's over 5,000 votes, but it is a 50-50 tie between Jamaal Charles and Tyreek Hill. Fanning, I'll ask you first.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have on your team? Peak Jamaal Charles or Tyreek Hill?
I hate to admit this, but I flip-flop because I actually voted in the poll, CDOT, and I voted for Jamaal because I figured I'll take 25 touches from Peak Jamaal, and I would rather have that than Tyreek. But I started to change my mind the more I thought about it. Then I heard Pete talking about it. We had the guys from Arrowhead Pride in to talk about it. By the way, go to their watch party at the other place on Sunday night for the Patriots and the Chiefs game. I think I'm going to take Tyreek because the league has turned into more of a passing league, and Tyreek Hill can help you on special teams, and we see what he does when it comes to field position. And you've got to put two guys on him at all times. Like, you can't go just man-to-man. Yeah, I mean, he had the best corner in Jalen Ramsey on him, and he beat him, and so you got to put two guys on him. I think he, even if he's not touching the football, he's making a tremendous impact on the field. So I'm going to take Tyreek, even though I voted for Jamaal, so I changed my mind since I made that vote before the show.
Speck. Who would you rather have on your team, Peak Jamaal or Tyreek Hill?
It's a great example of recency bias. Have we forgotten how amazing Jamaal Charles is?
No, I haven't.
Jamaal Charles is the clear answer over Tyreek Hill. This shouldn't even be 50-50. It's Jamaal Charles. I would much rather have Jamaal Charles than Tyreek Hill.
The reason I asked the question is I saw a ridiculous stat earlier today, and I want to give credit. It's a guy named Adam Spinks. He is at the RB Scout on Twitter because he was replying to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, who said that that Jacksonville was bringing in Jamaal Charles. They were going to sign him, right? So Jamaal Charles is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. It's very ironic that the Chiefs created an opportunity for Jamaal Charles. Funny how the world works in that capacity. So Adam Spinks tweeted, do you want to know a ridiculous Jamaal Charles stat? He could run his next 110 carries and gain 0 yards on the play and still have a 5 yards per carry average for his entire career. That's insane. That tells you how good Jamaal has been throughout the course of his career. Like, I'm kind of with Speck a little bit on this is I don't think we ever really maybe put into context because we like rarely stop and kind of have these conversations about how good players are that just like aren't Brady or aren't yep. Rodgers or aren't Breeze. Jamaal Charles right now is fourth all time in yards per carry. if he dropped down to fifth, or excuse me, for to 5 yards of carry. So let's say that this happened. Let's say that he doesn't gain a single yard with Jacksonville and he has 110 carries. That would give him the same yards per carry as Gale Sayers and Barry Sanders. The same yards per carry. Like, peak Jamal was not really good.
It was amazing.
Peak Jamal was not great. Peak Jamal was Hall of Fame worthy. Now, we didn't see peak Jamal for a very long time in the NFL, but when Jamal was at his absolute best and he was the dual threat that could run the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield, he was one of the greatest running backs in the history of the NFL. 5.4 yards per carry is insane.
I'm not – don't mistake this, man. I'm not saying that I don't think Jamal wasn't great. I mean, I'm fascinated at what Jamal could do. I don't know how – you can run and then all of a sudden cut on a dime like that and your body's at a 45-degree angle and go a different direction in a millisecond. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. All I'm saying is the passing league. You know, and Tyreek helps you on two different fronts, and you've got to pay attention to him or he can take it to the house every single time. So Jamal was fantastic. I'm not arguing that at all. Like I said, I originally voted for him in your poll. I changed it the more I thought about it and thought about how Tyreek affects things. So I know there's nothing in fantasy football for you guys out there when a punter kicks it out of bounds and you get 15 yards of better field position because they don't want to kick it to Tyreek Hill. And I know for a lot of people, if it doesn't show up in a box score, it's not a stat, or doesn't show up on your fantasy football lineup, then it doesn't exist. Tyreek Hill is dangerous, man, on a bunch of different levels. And I know Jamal will get a lot more touches, but Tyreek Hill affects every play too. So that's why I'm going with Tyreek. And it is a passing league. We've talked about that. C-Dot, you and I were kicking this around earlier. Every team in the league now passes more than they run. You know, I mean, I was looking at numbers earlier today, and New England, I think, has passed it 42 more times than they've run it this season. And I think they're going to run the football quite a bit against the Chiefs, but I wanted to see what the difference was. So it's a passing league. Give me Tyreek right now instead of Jamal. I love Jamal, but I'm going Tyreek.
I'm
going
to take Tyreek Hill for two very simple reasons. The prime of a running back is just longer. So if I could pick which one I'd rather have, I'd rather have the prime. And what will always tip things in the favor for Tyreek Hill is special teams. Yeah. That will just always tip it. Like, Adam Thielen is a better wide receiver than Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, Tyreek Hill, how he can help you in the running game and how he helps you in special teams just makes him a more valuable player than somebody like Adam Thielen. That will just always cite it in his favor. So I'll take Tyreek Hill because I think he is a better matchup in a lot of different ways. But, man, Jamal was really good in his prime. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.